Let's move forth, amen, into the essence of what we have been dealing with for some time and for some time to come, amen. Scripture doctrine of regeneration. Oh my God, hallelujah. Which deals with the fact of who we are and how we got to be who we are, and the fact that we had nothing to do with becoming who we are. Amen. And the fact that you were, you more than are, you were, before you were ever, amen, encapsulated into depraved flesh, you were positioned in the body of Christ. You were positioned in the body of Christ in eternity. Amen. Before you were created and manifested in time. Amen. This information must be indelibly impressed into our spirits. Amen. Amen. Know that the journey is already complete. You are already in Christ. Have been in Christ from eternity. Again, we go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Elder, let's go there and read just 5 and 6, and then we must move along, have a long ways to go. Amen. And all the time in the world to get there.
Hallelujah.
Not going to rush through this.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So that we will understand and appreciate the more what God has done for us. All right, everybody got Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Say amen. All right. I'll just read 5 and 6, both from the King James and then from the Greek and the lineal reading as we move forward. All right. Again, everybody got it, amen? All right, Elder Reed.
Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, King James translation. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's go to the interlineal, and we read that, verses 5 and 6. Those of you who have your Greek Bibles, amen, turn to that. Those that don't, read along. That's, again, Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, as Paul writes, gives explication as to what being saved mean and what being regenerated mean and what role that God had in it and what non-role that we had in it. All right. All right, Elder Reed.
Not by works in righteousness.
Not by works in righteousness.
Which did we?
Which we did.
But according to the of him mercy.
But because of his mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us.
Through washing of regeneration.
The washing regeneration.
And renew a spirit.
And renew a spirit. Holy.
Which?
Renew a Holy Spirit. Washing regeneration. Renew a Holy Spirit. When did he do it? Which he shed on us when?
Richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
He shed it upon us. He shed as a king Again, past completed action, past completed fact.
Amen.
Amen. Something he did long before you ever knew him. Amen. Or before you even knew yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He did it when only God knew you. He was registered through Christ.
Yes.
Registered through our Savior.
Yes.
Amen. That he accomplished.
Amen.
There's nothing more rewarding knowing and having the confidence that what you are eternally. And what you are can never be undone. Amen. That in the world, as we see all of the things around us that are changing and all of the alterations, amen, we're unmoved from our confidence in what he has done for us. Because we're able to differentiate between the temporary climate of time and the eternal sphere of God.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Again, this Greek word, poliesios, is rendered regeneration. It is comprised of Pauline, meaning again, and Yenesi, which means birth, again birth, amen, pointing back to that which you already were in eternity, according to what God has done, amen. So we can, if anyone asks you, when were you saved, amen, basically, the answer is, absolutely, the answer is in eternity. Amen. Now, the manifestation of it is in time, and you can pick the several days that we came to the realization of who we are. But the actualization of it occurred in the eternal sphere. Now, we had moved down as we progress through the document. We were talking about repenting and believing, which has been fostered as being the methodology of being saved. That's the prescription of how one is saved. Amen. As this, what is taught from many pulpits. And so in our exposition, we are looking at the meaning of repentance, the relation of repentance to believing, the relation of repentance and covenants, dispensational inclusion and absence of the man for repentance from salvation in the scriptures, significance of repentance in specific passages of scriptures. We had also looked as far as the meaning Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and 29, amen, when the son that was cited by Christ first said, I won't go, and then he said, I will go, he changed his mind, a change of heart, which is what the word metanoia actually means, amen. There may be some sorrow in instances of repentance, but repentance itself, amen, has nothing to do with sorrow. Amen. So we are bringing to light the scripture misuse of this term and a system that has been erroneously fostered, amen, and preach that one must, through the prescriptions of repenting and believing, move or make some gesture toward God. Amen. Nothing could be further from the truth. Underlining these suppositions is that there is something that you must go through, some tears or anguish, expression of being sorry that you were a sinner. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Some volitional input of faith. Amen. That is expressed in the sphere of time, which becomes the catalyst for God applying the blood of Jesus to you. Amen. This is why we must keep these workings in eternity. Amen. So we must militate against such teaching, take a strong stand in support of eternal regeneration. Amen. God does not have to be mollified, appeased, because he cannot be appeased by human agony. Amen. This is a desperate form of unbelief, as we have stated. The belief of the gospel for testimony's sake has been assigned to us. Amen. So the notion that someone has to convince God, amen, or coax God into saving you by something that you do, amen, is totally foreign to that which the scriptures teach us concerning the essence of our salvation and why we're saved. Bottom line, it is in eternity. Christ died. It's in eternity that grace was extended. Amen. It's in eternity that the blood of Jesus was propitious. Amen. Now, what we're militating against, synergistic mindsets that are prone to imagine that there's some form of atoning for sin by expressing sorrow for being a sinner. Amen. There is, and we have seen it, amen, those that come to a realization of what God has done, there is some sorrow, amen, but it within itself has no merit in bringing one to salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Repentance again is simply a change of mind. Amen. And even that is caused by God. It is not something that is triggered within the hearts and the thoughts and the makeup of the one, amen, who comes to a realization of salvation. No individual can turn to Christ. No, none. Based upon their own confidence in God, based upon their own ability to change mind. Amen. If we get time, we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 9, and in that where Paul is speaking of repentance, amen, and godly sorrow, and ones he is writing to, as we will see when we exegete it, the ones that he is writing to, amen, already saved. Amen. So we weren't talking about salvation. Amen. It must be understood that repentance in the sphere of time is not something that a spiritually dead individual could ever effectuate. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, our Lord, in eternity. Again, as we've said, must foremost be considered by us who are amenable to the Word of God, understanding that the essential preparation of the heart is the accomplishment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is God's methodology for manifestation, a testimony. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And even that must be viewed in a non-voluntary mode. Amen. It is the spiritual intelligence of God that has given you the understanding of who you are in Christ and how we got to be who we are amen, and when it occurred, amen. And we understand this, we know that the ones that come to God, come to Christ, manifestation, they do so by God's divine influence as they're illuminated and given a clear understanding concerning sinful nature. So we're called to believe in God. We're called to believe in Christ. Amen. Regardless of though that which has been preached and misconceived as acts of men in securing their salvation. Amen. Again, and this is where we stopped last week. It's not a matter of turning from something to something, but turning to something from something. We'll deal with that today. Amen. And now we're not playing on words here. As we look and we take a spiritual analytical investigation of the sphere of the actual enactment of salvation, it will exude this vital distinction between turning from something to something or turning to something from something. For depraved humanity to turn from evil is not possible. It's not possible. It's not a possible act. Amen. No such thing can happen. No such action, amen, is a determinant as to what God has already done. Father, once turned to Christ was a predetermined act in eternity.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Before time. Before creation.
Hallelujah.
And when you take the act of repentance, even the act of faith in the sphere of time, and you make them requisites or requirements for salvation, amen, you've taken God out of the driver's seat and put men there. Amen. On the one hand, manifestly speaking, turning to Christ from all other confidence, this does exude an act of repentance, because that is a change. That's a change. Now, you were dependent upon yourself. You were dependent upon others. Now you depend upon Christ. That is a definite change in manifestation. Amen. In that sense, amen. But for those who have taken erroneously from the second chapter of Acts, amen, Peter said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I said, repent and be baptized. And they've taken that which is from the new covenant in the kingdom gospel and transposed it over into the grace covenant. Erroneously, it does not belong there. There is a change of mind when it occurs. Amen. No, but what Peter was talking about is that doctrine of changing of mind, a changing of heart, of repentance, as he gave an answer to them as to what must they do. Amen. Ye men of Israel, ye men of Galilee, what must we do? Those of us who are God's covenant people in another dispensation, amen, who have depended upon the law, what must we do? Amen. Not those who were never under the law, Gentiles, alienated from God, are now people. Amen. My friend, we had nothing to repent or change from. Amen. We went to something. Oh, my God. We're not turning from a previous relationship, a previous contract, a previous condition, amen, of communication with God to change to something Amen. But we were nothing, and God made us something. Amen. Except when we look in the eternal realm, we know that we always were something. Amen. And this is what we're again is to move and look and focus on that which you were and always were, as son's position in the body of Christ. So in this sense, we turn to that which God from eternity had laid out. God from eternity had established. God from eternity had made us first before we were ever placed to these vile bodies. Amen. The essence of who you are, amen, has to be traced back to God's first act. Amen. His first work, which is salvation. We got it backwards. We teach that creation comes first and then salvation. But it's salvation first. Amen. God did his most important work first. That he saved you. He lifted you. He washed you. He cleansed you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified. Name of our Lord. In the eternal realm. No. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, amen. I want you to turn there for a minute. Oh my God, hallelujah. As we give some enlightenment to what God has designed and what he did. And the problem is, we're not able to thank God in many instances because we have been brainwashed and conditioned to give him praise and thanksgiving based upon the things that are physically around us, that what our conditions are. Amen. And not looking at the greater picture, that which you are able to praise and magnify him for, regardless of what's happening or regardless of what's not happening. This is why Apostle Paul, amen, whom God had given a light and taken him up above the third heavens, amen, and given him, amen, an entrance into the essence of the body of Christ, and for whom he had sat under for 3 years in the desert of Arabia as he was given the mystery and this volume of truth, amen, that we preach, that we can really say God is good and God is gracious, amen. Not based upon whatever my financial conditions are or my conditions are health-wise, but oh my God, always looking above the things around me, looking above the things in creation and the things in time, and looking beyond all of this, looking at the entire panoramic, amen, and actually placing yourself into eternity, amen, as a positioned son of God in the body of Christ. This is why Paul could write from prison and say, rejoice, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. Because what he was saying is preface on the fact what God had done for him. Everyone got 1 Thessalonians 1. 9, say amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. Start with verse 4, Elder. Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with the 4th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Chapter 2.
First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4.
Chapter 2, verse 4. Everybody got it? Amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
But as we were allowed of God.
That's it. But as we were allowed of God. Do you appreciate the knowledge that God has given you?
Amen.
Is it just, you know, is it something you take for granted?
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh.
Can we view this as a privilege?
Mm-hmm.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We were allowed of God what?
Allowed of God. To be put in trust with the gospel.
To be entrusted with this gospel. Here was a man who had money. Who had position. Who was a rising star. In society. A member of the Sanhedrin. Had sat under the feet of the greatest teacher of his time, could look back at his lineage,
yes,
and say, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
Which means he was a true Jew.
That's right.
Not one of those lost tribes.
That's right.
And then to lose it all. From the time that he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost his position. Where he was loved by the establishment, all of a sudden he is hated by the establishment.
Yeah, it was.
And then he testified later, for what I gain, for what I lost, what I gain is far more. And in comparison, I count it but dung. For what I gain compared to what I lost is no comparison. He speaks of it as the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. This excellent knowledge, this superior knowledge, and what I gave up was nothing. In comparison to it. And so as he's in prison, he writes, he says, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Said, Paul is bound, but the gospel is not bound. Here, being able to glimpse at the panoramic picture of things, he is not assessing even his personal welfare based upon his physical surroundings.
Yeah. Lord, help Lord, help Lord.
Think about that. Become so caught up in the knowledge of who you are in God. Till that exceeds everything else around you. Prioritize. And what will help us to prioritize is when we come to a true understanding of the workings of God's agenda versus our own. Our problem is we have agendas. And when these agendas conflict with God's agendas, there's trouble in the camp.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Mm.
And we said, things are messed up, but things are not messed up. Things are not. Hey, my friend, things. You don't know what I'm going through. Again, everything in life, everything touching your life begins with your comprehension of your relationship with God. If you don't get that straight, nothing else is going to be straight. Nothing else. Nothing else. There is nothing concerning your existence that is as important as your relationship, I might say your eternal relationship, in the body of Christ. That's your security. That's your happiness. That's your joy. That's your hope. That's your peace. That's your only entrance into the blissfulness of what the meaning of the word happiness and joy means. Amen. Oh. And Paul was there. And this is why he could say rejoice.
Glory.
While he's yet in struggles. And so we see here how he gives thanks. How he is so enthused and grateful of having been given this excellent knowledge. And to know that it didn't come because he deserved it.
Amen.
But was the grace of God.
Amen.
So we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And we'll go back and read that from the Greek. Bring it out. Keep reading.
Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God.
Said it again.
Not as pleasing men.
Not as pleasing men.
But God. Which trieth our hearts. For neither any time use be flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory.
Nor men, not before. Oh my God, we just don't understand what ministering is. What is the purpose of the ministry? Why are we here? Why are you here this morning? Is it a tradition? Maybe because somebody told you it's something good to do? Or is some think it is part of the time that you put in? If you're going to be considered as being one acceptable to God? What is the purpose? Read.
Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
Verse 9.
For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for labor night and day,
my God,
because we will not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God.
Now, to get some insight, clear insight, I want you to take your interlineal. Oh my God, look at the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read 89. Those of you in the lineal that have it, say amen. All right, read that.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
So, longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also the of ourselves souls, because beloved to us you became.
Mm-hmm.
Ye remember, for brothers, the labor of us and the toil, night and day, working for the not to be put a burden unto anyone of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God.
Now, that prefaces what we're going to say in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. You see, the influence of this gospel upon the Apostle Paul. Amen. And the fact that everything that is going down, they're in the passive mode. They're in the passive mode. They're not in active mode. They're in the passive mode. Everything. But you're not going to believe that. If you believe you're in the active mode in relationship to your salvation, you're going to believe you're in the active mode in determining everything else concerning you. And that puts a great burden upon you. Paul's lack of burden in the ministry was the fact that, first of all, he knew it was God who placed it in him. But it went further than that. It was God who arranged the encounterment on the road to Damascus. You didn't one day accidentally get saved. You didn't one day accidentally have an encounter with God. It was prearranged. It was pre-designed. It was planned by God. Now let's go further. It was actualized in God's decree in eternity. So everything that's going down, everything that's happening, God has decreed it. Now, as he spoke here, he said, God put us in the ministry. God gave us. God calls us. And see, when you start along that line, when the road gets bumpy, we can still continue to say, God designed, God prearranged,
yes.
God predetermined.
Yes, yes, come on, come on. Amen. Amen.
In other words, it's not God for a while and then you for a while. It's not God and you together.
No.
It's not God waiting on you.
No.
It's not God influenced by you.
Hallelujah.
This is why we must separate actualization by decree in eternity from manifestation of the decree in time. That's what I already said. But what about the time I mess up?
Come on here. Come on with me.
What about the time you mess up? Certainly God didn't know anything about that. God wouldn't allow that. We always come up with what God, you know. The storm comes and wipes out a few hundred thousand people, tsunami, and a few thousand people in New Orleans, the levees break. You say, God didn't have anything to do. God, you know what? Or else we come and say, well, you know, God did that because, you know, the voodoo and practices and so forth and so on. And we always got some answer. It's like God doesn't have an agenda. God doesn't have a plan. God is just here waiting to see what we're going to do with our agendas, and he participated in our agendas, but didn't have one of his own. And God happens to realize that it's all about him and what he has planned. But then why would God do this? Why in one instance would he stop me from acting depraved, and another instance he allows me to act depraved? Why in one instance would he block the accident, and another instance allow the accident?
Yes.
Why in one instance would he heal my body, and another instance he allows me to deteriorate? We have agendas that we must be healed.
Yep.
And that's our agenda. That's not God's agenda. Right. I know we don't want to hear that.
Right,
and this is why we go back to salvation. Now here, over here, Paul is working. And he's giving God the glory and the praise. First of all, I'm only associated with this thing because God allowed it. And I'm only sacrificing because God has allowed it. We don't have time, but you will see the passive mode in all of these things. So down here on this end, I have this knowledge, and I'm making this statement, but I'm making this statement based upon something.
Yeah.
I'm making this statement based upon the initial knowledge of God from the beginning. Now read that verse 9.
Verse 9. Okay. Ye remember.
First Thessalonians chapter 1 now.
Okay. Oh. First Thessalonians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
King James or Greek?
Yes, stop the King James.
First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you,
mm-hmm.
and how ye returned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
So how did it happen? How he's writing here to Gentiles. He's writing here to those who had no former manifested relationship with God. Read that from the Greek.
First Thessalonians 1:9 Greek text. For becoming us, they relate what sort of entrance we had to you and how ye turned to God from the idols to serve a living, God.
Wait, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 9.
Right.
From the Greek.
Yes, okay. Themselves for concern.
Yeah, them, right, okay, take it slowly now.
Okay. Themselves for concerning us.
Themselves for concerning us.
They relate.
They relate. The knowledge of one thing and understanding of this will cause you to take that knowledge and relate to another.
Amen.
What you think in time should be influenced by what you know in concerning eternity.
Amen.
It will influence you.
It will.
Yes.
It will influence.
Amen.
Relate. They relate what?
What sort of entrance
mm-hmm.
we had to you.
Uh-huh. And more importantly.
And how you turn.
How is it you turn to something? How? Listen, my God, I hope I can break this down. You turn to you Gentiles who had nothing manifest-wise now. Let me just break it all down home. You, as a Gentile, who had no visible, manifested relationship to God. What are you doing saved?
Oh, my
goodness. Idol worshippers.
Yes. Yes.
Those with historical generations of those who never knew God.
Amen.
You turn to him. No mistake. No mistake. You had an appointment. It was designed. You didn't know God, but he always knew you. You were always his. Look at Paul. While he's out there persecuting the Christians, killing them, he belonged to God.
Yes. Yes.
This is why I would never assess whose God's elect are based upon the state of their affairs. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You turn to God from what?
You turn to God from the idols. To serve.
How do you go from idols gods to God? Did you do it? No. No. Well, how? You turn to God. Read.
You turn to God from the idols to serve a living and true God.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's wrap this up this morning. Now, we'll take a lot of time. We'll continue to take time.
Glory.
Regardless of what's going on in the world, we come in here every week and we talk about this. Hmm? Why aren't we talking about the economy? Why don't we talk about the situation in Iraq, in Israel? Palestinian situation. Why aren't we talking about the economy? The deficit that's higher than it's been in a number of years. Why aren't we focusing on the physical things around us? Why? Are we talking this morning about the doctrine of regeneration? Why are we stressing the requirements I'm totally dependent upon God and not ourselves? Why are we militating against those who teach in repentance and believing? And what salvation is. Why are we talking about salvation at all? That is eternally. Word salvation means to be delivered. Why aren't we talking about salvation from poverty.
Oh,
deliverance from poverty. Deliverance from the situations of this world. Why are we prioritizing this? It is because, beyond everything else that is happening, we're looking at that which is unmovable and unshakable. Because the only thing that is that which will always be. Because it's not if it's here today and gone tomorrow. And so we'll continue to talk about salvation. It is boring, I know it's boring. Oh, how boring it is. And this is why it's not being preached, because it's boring. And so what we do is we go into the kingdom gospel, and we go into Matthew, we go into Mark, we go into Luke and John, go into Acts. We even go into Paul and grab a couple of things. And then we transpose the kingdom principles of the millennial age, which is the age of exuberance and joy. And we take them and we take the new covenant, which is law kingdom. And we said, we're going to bring this thing to pass, and we're going to make it now, because this is what Jesus said you must do to bring it to pass. And then we take the concepts from the kingdom gospel of what being secure and safe and being happy means, and we transport them over into the grace gospel. We take the dispensational applications from elsewhere and we place it into this evil age. And when we do that, we fall flat on our face and we're not happy. God's people are not happy. And that's because we're looking at the wrong thing. I think the clearest way to stay on track is to continue to focus on salvation, because you're not going to get anything right down here straight if you don't get salvation straight and know what salvation really means. And this is why we continue to beat and beat and beat the same spot. Being saved. What does being saved mean? Being secure. What does being secure mean? Being happy. What does being happy mean? Goes back to one source, God. What you are in God is what you are.
That's it.
If you're not happy in God, you can't be happy. You can't have, if you don't have peace in God, you don't have peace. You can't have peace. I don't care what you do, you won't have peace. You must have joy and rejoice in the Lord. And if you don't have joy and rejoice in the Lord, you cannot rejoice. You can fool yourself. You can suck yourself. But you cannot have joy and you cannot rejoice. So this is why we shall continue to speak about the prioritized fact that your whole existence, the essence of life, the essence of joy, the essence of hope, the essence of living above the problems that surround you and plague you, and that thing, amen, that has you, amen, Oh my God, they're so confounded. Amen. You're looking, amen, to solve a problem that's unsolvable from where you stand. Amen. The essence of life is not wrapped up in the things of physicality around us, of the things that we see, taste, touch, the things, amen, that we're involved in. We must go beyond the essence of these things and dwell in Christ. I wonder why Paul, at the end of his journey, could be so happy. Here he's facing execution.
Absolutely.
And he's a man in peace and joy.
Yes. Yes.
He is in anticipation. Amen. Looking to be in the presence of Christ manifestly. Why? Why? And we sing songs, but we don't really mean it. But it would be nice if we could. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rejoice at the close of the day. We don't really mean that, do we? Huh? No, we don't. No, it's a song. It's words. For I know there are joys that await me. When I traveled the last mile of the way, when the design of my days have come to an end and come to a close, I look beyond the things that are past. I look beyond the present. And I focus on the future. This is what influences my joy and the essence of my thinking. And it may be confusing to some. Pray that you get the essence of what we are trying to convey as we continue to minister.
Amen.
Concerning the essence of your life. And the fact that you are eternally in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And I pray,
thank
God, will give you understanding. Because if you ever internalize this, it would be life-changing. Life-changing. The stress that you feel, the anxiety, the confusion, all of these things that we are facing from day to day. And of course, there are many ministries that are telling you 5 ways to do this and how to do that. And amen. And of course, that's appealing because they say, well, this is the step. But that's all physical. That's all natural. These are man-made and man-conceived remedies. And all the while, we're more than conquerors. Why are we more than conquerors? Why are we more than conquerors in Christ? Not because of what you can do. Not because of what someone else can do. But it's simply because of what Christ has done. And that's the key. To look into the eternal realm. And comprehend and internalize what Christ has done. I beg you, I implore you, to do not look within yourself, do not look within others, but look to the one who eternally loved you and has always loved you and will continue to love you. The essence of your existence, who is the God of your salvation. God bless you.
Thank you.